magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday. It's July 21st, 2014. Hopefully you had a wonderful worship service yesterday in your area churches. You got to fellowship with other like-minded believers, got to hear God's word divided, got to worship and praise and meet with others and pray together. And I had a wonderful opportunity yesterday as I attended the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. They had like four or five different people sharing their testimonies, and three of the different couples, one is returning and serving as missionaries in the Dominican Republic, and I thought, wow, powerful testimony, so I might have that couple in the studio in the coming days. We'll see if I can work that out before they leave. Another gal gave her testimony. She's returning to China. She's been attending there for 4 years and shared how she recently was baptized and is following the Lord faithfully. Then another gal got up. She shared some of her life story and journey on coming to Christ, and she was from South Korea. And all three of these different families were going to be returning to their different countries, and I thought the influence that this church was having through these lives and how unique it is that these people, what we would say maybe foreigners visiting the United States, are returning to their country as ambassadors, as faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, all three of them not knowing the Lord before they came to this area. So, powerful Sunday service. I hope you were very blessed and drawn closer to God, and so thank you, God, for the fact that we can gather together in this country and enjoy the freedoms of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ together. Well, speaking of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, in the studio with me today are some, I don't know, I can't say longtime friends, because Jerry, I've only known you for a couple years through some of our radio events and gatherings, but it's the first time, Carol, I've been able to talk with you and share with you. I think you've been at a few of the events, or I've seen you next to Jerry a time or two, but in the studio with me is Jerry and Carol Cohen. Does that name ring a bell? Do you read the Old Testament? Are you familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures and the family Cohen? In fact, as I wrote down some notes for this program, a little outline, Carol, you had said, now what are we going to talk about? Here's some of the topics that I think we'll cover probably today and tomorrow. How does God bring together an Italian Catholic girl and meets up with a Jewish man with the last name Cohen? Obviously, Jerry, you grew up Jewish. You're still Jewish.
And yeah, I haven't changed. It's one of the things that we would love to dispel the misnomers about what people think about people who come to the Lord, who come to Jesus, Yeshua, as a Messiah. All of a sudden, they're not Jewish anymore, and that there's nothing can be further from the truth.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes they'll label you, if you will, messianic or a fulfilled Jew.
Right.
Or there's completed Jew, faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the uniqueness of New Mexico and how people can get saved in that state.
Yay,
I know that's a little of your testimony. Some of the healing journey you're on currently, Jerry, with some miraculous things that God's doing through your health and through the treatments that you're receiving.
Right.
There's a special verse in Joshua that we'll probably reference or talk about, the messianic ministry you're both a part of, and you have three lovely daughters. Both of you grew up in the Tuscola, Villa Grove area some years ago. You've been married 26 years. So, Carol, I'm going to start with you just to get some snapshots of the pre-Jerry days, how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when did that happen, and then some of your love stories, and then we'll talk about some of these other things about New Mexico and the testimonies and some of your love story.
Okay, well, I grew up in a small town, Villa Grove. Italian father, being raised Catholic, very strong belief and going to church. I'm so grateful for that heritage from my parents, that they made us go to church and catechism on Saturday. Mm. I'm grateful for that. And I was involved in playing for the Mass and a lot of the folk guitar Mass came at that time. So I was very involved with music and the church. When I graduated high school, I went to Eastern, then transferred to Michigan, Kalamazoo, as a music major, and then changed to music therapy while I was up there. The journey started in Michigan, I feel, for I had an internship in New Mexico. And God, he was after me all this time. I can look back and see that now, that his hand. I went to New Mexico for my six-month internship in a geriatric hospital, and there met the previous internship person. She was a Christian, so when we just clicked and she started praying for me, I know that's the journey, that's where it started. And after my internship, I stayed on and was hired at the hospital. Also, after that was over, I worked in the theater department at the university in Silver City, New Mexico, and started working in theater and doing shows again. And just so happened that people who did the sound and backstage help were Christians. So, of course, they started praying for me.
What do they call that? The hound dog of heaven,
yes,
that was after you?
Yes, I think
you?
So. Well, my love for theater and musicals, God has people planted everywhere. And I was probably a subject, you know, as a target for them, which that's okay. I look back and think another God thing. And there was this Jesus... someone had written a Jesus play, and I was asked to do the makeup for Jesus. Just the involvement in all aspects of theater, the Lord had a plan, and I was sort of sick that day, and the Jesus character who I was putting on his makeup said, well, can I pray for you? I said, oh, sure, thinking he's going to go away and pray for me, but no, right then he took my hands and prayed for me. It's like, whoa, that's gutsy and bold, but little stair steps all along. And also, in the meantime of working with theater, I was dating a Jewish fellow who is not a believer in Yeshua, and I thought I was going to marry this fellow. Mm. And then when I was doing Sound of Music, the person helping backstage just went into a lot of prayer for me, and one day in the theater office just asked me the question, so do you believe this? I go, well, yes. Do you believe that about Jesus? Well, yeah. Do you believe this about Jesus? Well, yeah. Because I was raised Catholic, I believe those things, but no one had ever said, make a statement of faith. After I said yes, and he said, well, you're born again, like you're a Christian. And I go, oh, okay, I guess I am. And from that walk home from work that day, I was walking on air and things seemed light and bright. It's like, oh my goodness, I made a decision for Jesus. And the fellow I was with, I told him this, and he was very distraught and said, just tell me every way to write is right to God. And I said, I can't do that. And by me saying that to this fellow I thought I would probably marry one day, who was Jewish, I realized I had made a commitment to Jesus and that it was real and that I could turn down this fellow for Jesus.
Like, you kind of put the line in the sand,
it really, you know, it really did. But then that's not all. So then a few weeks went by and he was going to go back to New Jersey where he was from, and we were still in New Mexico. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and like he'll become a believer and his love for me, will it'll just make it work, right? So on my journey on Halloween of 1980, I was born again July 2nd of that year, 10 days after I turned 27. So see, God is always struggling. You know, he's always after us. And on the way to New Jersey, I stopped in Illinois to see my family. And my car broke down, so I could no longer go to New Jersey. And I realized God was getting my attention. There happened to be a church in town who had a love for Israel. And I just started going there and being fed and discipled and realized God had a different plan for my life. And, gee, the rest is history. Then I am.
Well, wait, I want to take you back to two things. I wrote down, I want to know a little more about music therapy, because that sounds really interesting, and how God was maybe even using some of those gifts. And then what was it about that former intern that was explaining Christ to you? Was she modeling it? Was there some attraction? Like, wow, there's something different about her life?
She just loved me. She accepted me. She was gentle. She was kind. I know some people they label Christians as Bible thumpers or just have to get their truth out, but she modeled for me just the love and the beauty and acceptance of Jesus. And when we would have lunch together, she says, I just want to share Jesus. And I said, I knew you were going to share Jesus. I'm ready for you to share that. But this is before I became a believer. Yeah, music therapy, I changed majors from music ed to music therapy because I always wanted to help heal, you know, people, help them in their walk of life. I heard about music therapy, so I transferred to Michigan, which is one of the few places that had it at the time in 1974. And I always wanted to use music as a tool.
That's what I was going to ask, because I've heard of animal therapy, like autistic or certain handicapped or special needs children, if they get on a horse, and there's that sensation where they can actually feel like they're walking because of the strutting of the horse or whatever, the movement, and animals can be very safe, and so there can be a lot of connecting or therapy. So how do they use music? Is it the sounds? Is it them playing instruments?
Well, my focus was geriatric population in New Mexico at a hospital. So it was more the social, getting them together with the guitar, singing songs from their past to make that non-threatening atmosphere where they can just relax and have less stress, which would affect their blood pressure or their ability to sleep that night, or the stress would go away. Or stroke victims were able to maybe mouth some words of songs they knew, which would help their therapy and, and other facts. So I was drawn to that aspect of music and working with people in hospitals. And anyway, so after...
Your car's broken down. You can't make it to New Jersey, but you're finding yourself in this congregation where you're really being fed and growing in your kind of new faith or your new faith journey.
Yes. And what's interesting about it is it's a small little Villa Grove town where I think it's the first non-denominational church that sprung up there. And so people were leery of that. And here I am, the mayor's daughter and the eye doctor's daughter. And it's like, whoa, what's this? This Christian person, you know, that I think it was hard for them to understand. And I love and appreciate my roots and my past. Like I said, being raised Catholic, I knew about God, but I really didn't know Jesus. And this church was very strong prayer warriors for Israel and loved Israel and loved to praise and worship. So I cut my teeth on that church, in that church, with praise and worship and learning how to just press into worship and warfare in the spirit and worship. So I have such fond feelings and memories about that, my first walk with the Lord.
So you're in your later 20s.
Yep.
What was the progression next?
27. So one day this Jew for Jesus came in and ministered, and I did a song on the piano, and I just said, wow, I just feel like I came home when I became a believer. He goes, oh, are you Jewish? I go, no, but I feel connected. So then I didn't know that God had a Jewish man for me one day, but he did. And so people, they were trying to matchmake me with this person sitting next to me in the studio. And so you need to meet this guy. And
you mean this guy named Jerry with the last name Cohen? Cohen, that seems like that could be a bit Jewish.
It could be just a little bit. Not too much, boy cheek, you know?
Well, Jerry, obviously, Carol shared some of her faith journey, and we need to know a little how you met up and was it love at first sight. But tell us some of your journey, because if you grew up in the Tuscola area, I mean, it's not like New Jersey or New York or an area where there's a lot of Jewish population.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest part of my story is getting over the hurdles of all of the objections and all the people and literally mark fights. I'm talking about fights with different kids that call themselves Christians. Oh, you Jews, look what you're doing. You have horns. The number of fights that I got in growing up was not fun because of all the opposition I received. And the interesting thing is growing up in the community that I grew up in is my brother and I were the only two Jewish kids in it. And we went to synagogue in Mattoon, which was 23 miles away. And so I wasn't accepted in that particular setting either because I like to play football and baseball and basketball. And I did all these sports things and most of the Jews, as you know, they're intellectual. Oh, that's too much work. You know, we're not going to play. Not that they don't, but that's not really what happened. And so I was rejected both by them and by the local community. I mean, I ended up getting some close friends, but it was a very difficult struggle, and I couldn't figure out where I belonged. I mean, when you're a kid and you don't know where you belong, it really becomes a difficult struggle. I mean, that's one of the things that you really work through. And part of my struggle is, and if somebody's out there listening, one of the biggest struggles I had is my mother rejected me when I was a kid because my brother had hurt himself when he was a child, like when he was 18 months old. And my mother decided that she couldn't help my father who had polio and help my brother who was hurt because of this accident. She decided, well, Jerry's healthy. I can't do both, so he'll just have to fend for himself. And that's part of the story that I'm telling because I had a journey where the Lord just loosed me last year from the spirit of rejection. It took 64 years to get set free from it, but God is faithful. You just have to be able to willing to walk the walk and to follow after him to do the things he's called you to do. But he didn't say it was going to be easy, but he was going to be faithful.
Now, you mentioned this Jesus, so what's some of that faith journey? If you felt rejection and you already have mentioned or referenced these Christians were putting you down or, you know, having their stereotypes, so when was that break breakthrough where you saw a Christian or you saw Christianity or you started following Jesus as a Jewish person?
Well, what the interesting thing is that as I was looking at and thinking back about my history, in school we would sing all these songs about Jesus during Christmas season, and I would feel this strange movement in my spirit. I had no idea what it was about, but I always was believing there was something going on in my head. And then back when I was, this is just an incident that I point to, when I was 12 years old, I was in the synagogue in Terre Haute, Indiana, and we were fasting for Yom Kippur, which is the highest holy day of the year, and I had an encounter with the Lord. I had no idea what it was, but I know that God touched me, but I couldn't figure out what it was until I got saved. Fast forward, you know, through high school, into college, you know, I went to Parkland, went to the U of I, I graduated, I went into the world.
What was your field or what was your...
I was in marketing and accounting.
Okay.
I was in Jewish engineering, that's what they call it.
And your parents along...
They were in the shmata business, okay? Now, for those of you in the listening area, that's clothing, okay? So shmatas is clothes, all right? So I was a schlepper, so I schlepped clothes, and I sold shmatas, which is, you know, that's kind of like in the Yiddish, if you want to get the terminology, okay? So I went into the schlepping and selling clothes on the road for like 10 years, and after a 10-year period... My father wasn't doing well, so I came back and I joined the business. That was in 79. He passed away that year. And then right afterwards, which was in 1980, I met a lady named Becky Wax, who had just been saved and was going to the same church as Carol.
And had you had any more encounters with Jesus or anything unique? Were you reading the Hebrew scriptures?
You know what? I had spent years going to synagogue and listening to all of the prayers. But no, I kind of, you know, just like a lot of Jews. You know, you know who Marty Goetz is, right? And you've had him here before. Marty Goetz plays that Jewish song about, I've never done anything significant since I had my bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, just like most Jewish kids, you get bar mitzvahed, and then you can figure out, well, what is there next? Because you really have no connection to God other than the scriptures. And I was conservative, not orthodox, which means I had a understanding of who God was. I always believed that God was real, but I never had any way to connect to him. And so I was out searching, but I didn't know what I was searching for.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, Carol, you mentioned growing up Catholic, yes. And yet oftentimes, and I have many Catholic friends that have come to Christ where it began to become a relationship.
Yes.
And it's almost the same growing up Jewish. You know God, you believe in God, growing up Catholic, talk about God and miracles and the saints, but there's not always the conversation that there can be an intimate, loving, ongoing relationship that's building and growing. And we're going to come back to you, Jerry, but I know in our closing 3 or 4 minutes, I want to bring it back to Carol. What was the point where that growth started happening, where it was a relationship where God was answering prayer, he was active in your life, he was ministering to you in various ways where you knew this was real?
I guess I should preface, at 17 when I went to school, I had 10 years in there where I had transferred to Michigan and did an internship that I wasn't in church anywhere. I mean, I didn't have any relationship with God. I had, you know, wrong relationships, many of them, and actually went through some very dangerous times. And I think it's the prayer of the saints that just loved on me, that them praying for my coming to Jesus. And when I did come to Jesus, they would bring me Keith Green music, or they would invite me to prayer services and minister to my heart and point me toward Jesus and his ways. It was the love of the people. It wasn't a church. I wasn't really involved in a church in New Mexico. A prayer group, yes, but I think it was just the love of the people, the body of Christ that just accepted me and loved me. And because my family was Catholic and they felt I had joined a cult, or that I had, like, what do you mean this Christianity? I don't get it. And because I had to explain my faith, and knowing that only my love for them could win them, I couldn't convince them. I think those hurdles, working with the family members, that I think because you go through the struggle of, this is who I am, and yes, I don't have to people please anymore. I can God please. And
yeah. Now, Jerry, I know already there's so much more to your story and so many other topics I want to cover, and so we're going to keep you in the studio. But in our closing couple minutes, so you're back with your family business, schlepping stuff around. But how did New Mexico and that conversion experience, or that born-again experience, or connecting with God in a personal way happen?
What happened was is that this lady kept witnessing to me about who Jesus was, kept loving on me, just like Carol talked about her friends, because if you want to win somebody to the Lord, you got to love them. You got to accept them from who they are. And finally, you know, after a number of years, our business kept going down and down and down, and we ended up eventually closing it. And what happened was, because of the Jimmy Carter embargo on the grain, we went out of business because we couldn't sustain, there wasn't enough business in Tuscola any longer for us. So I made a decision. I decided I was going to move. I had just met Carol just recently, just before that, and I believe my whole life fell apart. Essentially, Mark, I had made a lot of money. I had done the Jewish dream. I had accumulated lots of stuff, and all of a sudden, God took it all away. It was all gone. And you know, you can sit there and talk all you want about how much you have, but when you don't have any relationship, you don't have anybody to count on, it's just you, and you're trying to do all this stuff for yourself, you amass it, but it goes nowhere. It's like the rich young ruler. He was sad because God said, give it all away. But, well, we've experienced that. We understand that. So we moved out west. I got a job out west, and that's where my journey really began, because I wouldn't have gotten saved had I been in case of being home where I lived, because there was too many things that were, yeah, too many trappings that were keeping me from seeing who God was. But as soon as I got out west, that first night, Carol and I went to, it was a church, it's called PMC, Phoenix Messianic Congregation, and there was all these Jewish believers there who were playing music and standing up and praising the Lord. And I went, what is this? You remember that, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that process that God began to unravel those years and years of things, understanding. And I had to jump through a lot of hurdles, because it wasn't just believing in Jesus. It's because, you know, because my people and the rabbis have been creating this myth about Jesus for 2,000 years, that he was the problem, and talk about the Holocaust, right, Mark? And all the other things that he was supposedly the problem for. And so I had to go through and I had to understand, I had to analyze the scriptures, I had to take them apart, I had to find out, is God really real? I mean, because I knew that if once I was going to step across this threshold, if I was to believe, it was going to be something that was going to be permanent. I wasn't going to walk back. And I knew that, and I believe that that happens with a lot of Jewish believers. Once they believe, they're all in.
Yeah.
But to make the commitment is a big commitment.
Well, we're going to make the commitment to have you stay in the studio, remain in the studio. We're going to continue our conversation for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. In case you just tuned in, I have Jerry and Carol Cohen in the studio. They grew up and lived in and around the Tuscola, Villa Grove area. Both currently live in Savoy, married 26 years with 3 daughters, and we're going to continue this conversation, so thanks for tuning in. And if you missed a portion of this interview, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link, so you can listen to today and tomorrow's broadcast in its entirety at our website, greatnewsradio.org, or right-click on the link, paste it into an email, and send it to a friend, and you can share Jerry and Carol's testimony with a loved one. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.